Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.
All right, Jim and Jamal back on the air. As always, thank you so much for taking the time out of your Sunday afternoon and your Sunday evening, whichever coast you may be on. We really appreciate you tuning in. How's it going, Jamal?
Everything going good so far this Sunday.
Good, good, good. Hey, we got a lot of things to talk about today, so we're going to get to it. First of all, you know, as a reminder to everybody that if you want to call in, I'm going to hold up once again the number here, so you could be looking at that as I am speaking. Just jot it down. If you want to call in, you have any comments you'd like to make, we would really, really like you to do so. Meanwhile, if you don't want to call in, you could do as so many people do. They send us emails. At listenupwithjp@pottsandassociates.com. That's listenupwithjp@pottsandassociates.com. And if you want to get on our blog list, by the way, our blog, in order for you to do that, get on our blog or email blast, just text Potts Associates and text that to 22828 and enter your email address, and you'll get on our email blast to let you know what the upcoming shows are. Again, that's text it to Potts Associates and text that to 22828. Enter your email address, and it'll come out to you. All right, today we're going to be talking about a few things. You know, Jamal, it was so much going on with the civil unrest. I think we came up with a good idea with this business about talking about how to survive during these riots or civil unrest, whatever terminology you'd like to use. So we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about the election interference as well in terms of what's going on. And then we're going to be talking, and I'm talking about the upcoming election for the presidential election, because we've done some research and we found out there's three different countries that may be already trying to interfere with the election. And the third thing we're going to try and get to is about China. China's out of control. Would you agree with that, Jamal?
Oh, I agree 100%. China's always had their hands in a lot of things and have done some very not so good business tactics over the years, and they definitely have their share of corruption.
No doubt about it. So we're going to be talking about China. We're going to be talking about American manufacturers that are still over there. We're going to be talking about manufacturers that have actually left, and we're going to give you a few of the Chinese companies that are actually over here. So just for you to be aware of, because we want you to support the American-made products. Okay, having said that, Jamal, who do you have on blast this week, man?
Man, it's got to be one of the biggest idiots, man, I promise didn't say, but one of the undrafted free agents from the Seattle Seahawks, man. Undrafted free agency player from the Seattle Seahawks got caught trying to sneak his woman into the facility, disguising her as another football player. And because he did that, he was kicked off the team for that, man. I mean, you barely trying to make the team, and then you do something crazy like that.
He needs to be on blast, Jamal. That made absolutely, I remember when you told me that made absolutely no sense to me at all. How in the world do you do that? Because if the team is trying to protect everybody in the safety, and you're going to try and slip some woman in there.
Right.
Well, you know what? And not to mention the fact, it's not like he's a superstar. He's just new trying to get in.
He's trying to make the team.
Well,
you know,
you think he's going to make it now? No.
Nah.
We don't talk about the virtue for the week. Oh, no, I got one more to put on blast. The Washington Redskins. I just found out that now you guys know I'm a Washington
Redskins. Wait, who?
Don't start, Jamal.
No, wait a minute. Just don't watch the Redskins.
I know that, Jamal. But for those who don't know, who may recognize the name, you know, I'm a Washington Redskins fan and I'm a Yankee fan. But the Washington Redskins have officially changed their name, and they changed it to the Washington Football Team. How lame is that? Man. That is so totally non-creative. It's ridiculous. It almost makes me want to switch over to another team. But at any rate, I'm not going to do that, Jamal. Don't get too excited.
I'm about to say I got a jersey waiting for you, man. If you want to borrow it, brother, yeah, it's all good.
It won't be the New York Giants. If anything, it'd be the New York Jets. That's the first team that I ever even recognized, to be honest with you. But anyway, here's the virtue for this week, and it has to do with mother and home. Mother and home. If a young man be faithless to his mother, he will doubtless have little respect for his wife and children. So what they're telling you by that is that, guys, you need to respect your mother, all right? Because if you respect your mother, they say that you will also have respect for your wife and your children. So that's the virtue for the day. Keep that in mind. Love those mothers out there. They're not going to be with us forever. Love them. Be faithful. Be faithless to the mother, and you should be respecting your wife and children. Okay, let's get into these emails, Jamal. First one. Jim, I was floored to hear that the head of the Black Lives Matter movement in Chicago justified looting high-end stores as reparations. Stealing is stealing, and those stores are not the government. When are Black people going to understand that this type of behavior and ridiculous justifications are never going to help their case? Mark from Allentown, Pennsylvania. Well, Jamal, what do you think?
Wait a minute. Back up. Say that last sentence again. When is
Mark from Allentown, Pennsylvania?
No, not his name.
I know, Jamal. You said the lab. I'm just kidding you, man. Okay, that these types of behaviors and ridiculous justifications are never going to help their case. Their cause.
I thought you said, when are Black people going to learn?
Black people going to understand that these types of behaviors and ridiculous justifications are never going to help their cause?
Right.
I don't know the nationality of this person, but I would suspect they're not African American, obviously.
Right. My comment to that is, first of all, there's so many more people. I understand the specific one he's talking about in that case was in Chicago. But there's a lot more people involved in doing vandalism during these uprisings and stuff like that. Matter of fact, there's a lot of videos on YouTube and stuff where you can see Black people trying to stop other nationalities from vandalizing buildings in the name of Black Lives Matter. So, I mean, this is just one segment of something. And I did hear what the lady said, and I think that was absolutely stupid, to be honest with you.
When you say the lady, you mean the Black Lives Matter movement.
That's what this person's commenting on. When you say when are Black people going to learn, you know what I mean? That's us as a whole.
She's Black. She's the one that made the comment.
I know, but Black people, you should have said that lady, you know what I mean? In the certain groups, you know what I mean? But
Mark, because most
of us don't believe in looting and stuff like that, you know?
I don't deny that. I'm only telling you what the person just read here. So, Mark, right, if you're listening, just understand. But the reason why I chose this one was because it was more like to understand how people view, you know, because they'll put us all in the same category, Jamal. They're not going to put us in a situation where, you know, because, I mean, it's like the stereotypes. All Black people are like this. All white people are like this. All Hispanic people are like this. So that's
right. I don't want to be thrown in that group. that's plain and simple. So let's not generalize too much.
Well, I've never known you to participate in any civil unrest, Jamal. We've been through things, even when you were younger, it's with the Rodney King, you know, riots that are civil unrest that took place as well. But you're bringing up a good point, you know, for people to understand it's not all Black people. We understand that. And you're bringing up another good point in terms of the fact that, you know, when you look at those videos, and this is something I've talked about on the show before, when you look at those videos and you see some of these people committing this vandalism and things of that nature, and some of these people that are in, you know, claiming Black Lives Matter, they're Caucasians. They're not just Black people. And the point that we keep emphasizing to people out there, and especially to the listeners as well, is that Antifa, you know, once again, I mean, I know there's people that don't like, you know, me mentioning Antifa, but the realities are that's what's going on. There are people behind the scenes that are agitating this, and I'm actually going to be speaking about that, you know, as well. So I don't know, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. Go ahead.
Let me point out one more thing too, man. Remember the very beginning of this, you know, and I know a lot of people were opposed to it, but remember, Colin Kaepernick was taking a knee in silent protest. as a silent protest and demonstration. You know what I mean? So this thing started off as a peaceful thing, man. And, you know, and I think people have hijacked what this was really about for their own agendas. You know what I mean? So, like I said, I think whether you agree with them taking a knee or not, you know what I mean?
I think Colin Kaepernick, we've talked about this. I think he had his own agenda, Jamal, and it had nothing to do with that. He was upset because he got benched, okay? And he felt that that was, you know, so he wanted to claim and jump on the racism thing. I don't want to get into Colin Kaepernick because I know we're not going to agree on it. But, you know, these people will get out there and always
go. Sorry, man. You started it, so.
No, you Colin started Kaepernick. No, you brought Colin up Kaepernick.
Yeah, but you said something that was totally wrong that people need to understand. Colin Kaepernick started taking a knee after he got that advice from a Green Beret veteran. You can look it up. A Green Beret veteran was the one that told him, instead of sitting down, that he should take a knee during the national anthem because that was actually a sign of respect. And that's what a Green Beret veteran. Personally, I've never served in the armed forces, so who am I to argue with a Green Beret veteran when he says that's the respectful thing to do is to take a knee? So That's what Colin Kaepernick did due to his advice.
Were you a part of that conversation?
You read the article, Doc.
Do you know who started the conversation? I mean, you're making a statement, but
Okay, Green Beret veterans had a whole conversation with them. Mm-hmm. And that's how that whole thing came to be with him taking a knee. Now, the Green Beret veteran actually came out and said it in the article, that he was the one that gave him that advice.
Okay, that's fine, Jamal. Let's just say that you're right. It's still a bunch of nonsense as far as I'm concerned. And I don't agree about taking a knee with the national anthem. Okay, and I have served my country in more ways than one. So, I don't agree with that whole concept. So whether he started it, didn't start it, why he started it, I really don't care. But I don't think these guys should be taking a knee. I mean, these people have fought and died for that flag on both sides, all different races, you know, to keep this country free and the rest of it. Quite frankly, you want to know my attitude? Anybody that doesn't like it here, Jamal, you know, maybe they think there's another country that's better for them. Maybe that's where they need to be.
Hey,
bye, Jamal. We're moving on to the next one.
I saw in Seattle that
the Black Lives Matter protest went into a white residential area.
Everybody has a problem with the knee. Everybody has a problem with everybody taking a knee during the national anthem saying it's disrespectful. But when you go to the snack stand during the national anthem, there's thousands of people buying hot dogs and beer in line while the national anthem is going on. The beer sales don't stop during the national anthem. So
Wait a minute. That's not true, Jamal. I've been to more sporting events than you. I'm not saying that people haven't gone up to the stand and now it starts. So the national anthem starts. But a lot of times when the national anthem starts, people stop what they're doing, Jamal. Now, that's the events that I went at. But of course, you know, you've been to something different. Okay. So, you know, the three sporting events that you've been to, okay, you haven't really seen that.
I've been to the same Laker games you've been to, homie.
Oh, Jamal, please. They don't do that at the Laker game. People stop and they're respectful. I don't want to hear that. When was the last time you were at a Laker game?
Did they just change recently then?
When you were nine. Anyway, let's move on to the next email, man. Jim, I saw in Seattle that the Black Lives Matter protesters went into a white residential area and demanded that they all leave their homes because it was historically a Black neighborhood and they want it back. This is going way too far. Do they expect these residents are going to just pack up and move? Who sold them these homes? And who's going to pay the mortgages after they leave? Your comments are appreciated. Charlie from Oakland, California. Well, Jamal, you heard about that. I mean, what do you think? They're going to go into a neighborhood that used to be Black and they want to turn around and tell them to get out and they got pushed out? And look, now they should just leave?
There's a lot of idiots in the world that's going to yell out a lot of stupid things, man, things that don't make sense. I don't even know why they would even take them serious enough to even write this email. You know what I mean? Because obviously nobody's going to get out of their house and move. It's not happening. So to the 50 people that got together to say something just so stupid, I mean, that just don't make any sense. You know, I would take that with a grain of salt.
Okay, well, just wait a minute. There were more than 50 people. There was a lot of people that did this. Now, let me just tell you, once again, you know, it goes, and I got some of the actual transcript from some of this. They should yell, give up their homes. Do you know that before your white, I'll just say, butt came here, this was all Black people? Do you know that people like you came here and basically bought all the land from the black people for less than what it was worth and kicked them out so you could live here? And this is somebody that was actually speaking to one of the residents or screaming at one of the residents that may have poked their head out the door. Give black people back their home, this other lady yelled. You're sitting there comfortable, comfortable as F, as if they didn't help, you know, gentrify this neighborhood. Then the person says, I used to live in this neighborhood and my family was pushed out and you're sitting up there now having a good time with your white friends. Now, that's ridiculous to me.
Yeah, because, I mean, those homes that were owned by black people sold it to whoever the highest bidder was. Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's always going to be irrational people, man. You know what I mean? In all groups. It's just, that's just how it is.
Well, here's the deal. The deal is that these people are telling these people to get out. Now, to me, this goes back to what's going to happen if these people do this march again and get a little bit more violent with it. These people are locked in their homes, probably scared to death, you know, that these people are now going to do something. This is just wrong. And this thing is just getting way out of shape. And now I understand that the city's mayor, Jenny Durkin, she's facing a legal battle to get her kicked out of office because of her role in all of the violent protests that they had up there, which started in June when demonstrators took over Capitol Hill District and later renamed the Capitol Hill occupation protest. Remember, she was the one that said, oh, let them be out there. Let them do this. Let them do that. That was all fine and good until they showed up at her home. When they showed up at her home, that's when everything changed. And she's like, oh, no, we got to stop this or whatever it was. So now she's facing a legal battle. Looks like they're probably trying to recall her or whatever. She didn't handle it right. So right. I don't know. You know, this business about, you know, I'm going to tell you something. When I was going to Howard University, Jamal, and that was back in the early 70s, there was a lot of black people, you know, where Howard is, you know, where it was located, very black neighborhood, and D.C. in general. Then the gas shortage came. When the gas shortage came, Jamal, is what they started doing is building up all this cheap housing and these cheap apartments outside of D.C., and all these black people wanted the bells and the whistles, Jamal, with these apartments, these cheap apartments. And they all rushed out, okay, to go get up into these nice-looking cheap apartments, right?
Right.
Now, when they did that, who do you think started coming back into the city so that they could be closer to their jobs and not have to pay the higher gas prices?
Right.
See, sometimes they use things against us. You follow what I'm saying? From that perspective. Because the reality is they should have sauced through that. Don't you know what's going on? Now you want to commute back in. They would look at it like, oh, man, this is really nice. Now, look, I get it. Some people want to move out of these conditions, and now you're moving into a nice place. You're moving out. But then after that happens, now you want to complain when you realize that the gas prices are too high and now I got to commute back in. You should have thought about that before. But, hey, it is what it is. Jim, I noticed, just as you said, the whole issue of taking down statues has drifted away. People move on, the media drops off, and everything goes back until the next time some event sparks outrage. I think the American people are getting sick of this. Simon, Arlington, Virginia. Well, Simon, you're bringing up a good point because I'm going to tell you, it's more than just the fact that it drifted away. And Jamal, we kind of talked about this. What people don't understand is that the government started clamping down on some of this as well. There were some executive orders that were issued on protecting American monuments, memorials, and statues. That came out on June 26, 2020. Plus, in addition to that, there's already a federal law already in place, Section 2101 of Title 18, that national monuments get, because you remember one time they were talking about ripping down some of these or going to some of these national monuments and doing things. And the current administration was not going to go for that at all. But in addition to that, not only on a federal standpoint, a state standpoint, and a local standpoint, they have historic preservation laws, okay, where they are protecting things based upon history. So some of those statues are considered historic and that they are going to be protected for other reasons. And state and local laws protecting American war memorials, monuments, and veterans' graves, et cetera, is another one. So when these people are doing some of these things, they got to understand there are already federal, state, and local laws in place. Now, so what happened is that it came out, and I think it was on the federal side, that if you mess around with any of these federal monuments, it's 10 years. You could get 10 years in prison. So I think that had to, that was a factor where people started, because, you know, some people were being arrested. So maybe the word got out that these people were being put through the system. It's serious business. So I think maybe some of that also was a deterrent. So I don't know. I think that they, and I know you have, what's your opinion, Jamal? Because I know you have a different opinion about these statues and things.
Well, my opinion about the statues is I don't understand why we honor anybody who was, that's just my person, why we honor anybody, any group of people or any group of people that wanted to separate from the Union. To me, that's anti-American in terms of wanting to separate from the Union and start their own country. This country wouldn't be the same if the South had won. So why are we honoring
Jamal, they're ripping down Christopher Columbus' statue. He didn't have nothing to do with the Civil War.
Well, you know, he's responsible for a lot of Native American deaths, that's for sure. But
at the same time, he never stepped one foot on American soil, Jamal. Christopher Columbus never stepped one foot on American soil.
Well, that's not what they taught us in high school, and we paid good money for private school education.
Is what they said was that he discovered America, Jamal. Meaning that he came to the new world, okay?
And, right.
You know, now, to my knowledge, I don't believe, and I could be wrong about that, but I don't think I am. I don't think Christopher Columbus personally stepped one foot on American soil, okay? Yeah. So, but he's known for having discovered the Americas, supposedly, okay? Because right. He came to cross the water over this way. Now, right. Look, to me, Christopher Columbus has some other issues, quite frankly. I never celebrated Christopher Columbus Day. This guy brought, how do I want to put this, venereal disease back to Europe, okay, because of some of the places that he did visit, you know, in his crew and took certain things back. So, you know.
But I think these statues have a place, and I think they should be in a museum, not on federal property. And that's because of what it represents.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I just look at history as history, but then I was a history major. So for me, you know, I can read the history books and look at these things and separate these things out. Even when I was getting my college degree in history, I just didn't look at it that way. I just looked at it like it's history. And the way I look at it, and I know you have a difference of opinion about this, we don't need to be looking back on what happened. We need to be looking forward and concentrating on that. Because the more you look back at some of this, I just think it's a negative and people are losing the proper focus that they need. They need to be thinking about going forward. So just because there's a statue there, why am I going to, you know, react to that statue? I can't get my work done today because of a statue there of Christopher Columbus. Give me a break.
It's funny how they always say, hey, man, forget about slavery, move forward. But they always want monuments to remind you that slavery existed, though. Keep those around.
Well, Jamal, like, first of all, as we talked about last week, slavery still exists. It still exists, okay? So not to get back into all of that discussion again, but the realities are, is that, look, you said to remind you about it. Oh, Jamal, I'm a black man. All these years that I've been alive, I haven't dwelled on the fact that there's a monument there or a statue here about because this was there. I care about now. That was then. I say that was wrong. I mean, I'll say that in a heartbeat that was wrong. But I'm not going to dwell on it and lose my focus for the other things I want to do because of something that happened 200 years ago. That's all that I'm saying. You got to put the past behind you in order to be able to move forward. If you're always concentrating on what happened before, you're not going to be able to get things necessarily done moving forward. That's all.
Yeah.
Statue comes down. So what? What happens after that? Statue comes down.
You know,
okay.
I think those statues, to be honest with you, they empower. They still seem like it empowers people who have that mindset. You know what I mean? Like the good old days. You always hear the expression about the good old boys and this and that. And people refer to those statues as the good old days and stuff like that. There's people that still, you know, they feel bold and empowered by those things.
Think you're right. Because last time I walked by a Christopher Columbus statue, I'm like, man, Christopher, man, I'm telling you, man. Jamal, ain't nobody doing that nonsense, man. Talking about they empower somebody. But again, I respect your opinion. I know you're talking about the Confederate statues and all of that, but some of those. But again, we're talking about the Civil War once again, okay? And the purpose of the Civil War just wasn't strictly just about slavery. It was just they had a way of life that they were living, Jamal. It was more than that, you know. And I don't want to get into that, but anyway, so people had people that fought on both sides. They had black people that fought on the side of the Confederacy. I mean, I you know, where do you draw the line with some of that stuff? But look, let's move on because we can agree to disagree on these statues. To me, I appreciate the fact that you said the statues can be put in a museum. But Jamal, that's not going to be good enough for some of these people. Next thing you know, they're going to be boycotting the museum. Why do you have that statue in there? They're talking about eliminating it altogether. You can't walk into a museum and see something. So every time you walk into a museum and see something you don't like, we should boycott it. We should make people change what's in there because it's a part of negative history. You know, I don't know. They have the Smithsonian. The Smithsonian has all of those kind of things in Washington, D.C. They have all of that stuff in there. So what are we going to do, march on the Smithsonian, change all of this stuff? Anyway, moving forward, if there's somebody that, you know, there's a statue that's going to go up of, you know, whoever, okay, and they don't like it, then they should do it by peaceful means, Jamal. There's ways to do it. You talk to your politicians. You see if you can get a bill passed. There's a way to do it legally, and that's what they should do. All this other business to me is out of line. Anyway. Hey, you know I'm red, white, and blue, man. What can I say? All right, let's move on here. How to survive a riot. Jamal, what do you think is the best way to survive a riot, man?
Arm yourself.
Make sure you got your pistola.
Arm yourself. No, seriously, man. That's one way.
Oh, that might be a part of it also, man.
That's a small part of it, man. But just... You know, you got to always check the temperature of the room, in my opinion, in general, man. If you feel like you're in a hotbed, you might want to get out of town for a little bit, go to a family member's house that's on the outskirts ahead of time, if you possibly can. If you want to stay in your home to protect your home, if you feel like you need to protect your home, then by all means, load up with food and water and things like that, man, and ammunition, man. I would never tell anybody not to defend their home. I don't care who you are. Everybody has the right to defend their home.
And, you know, sometimes they don't know what's coming, Jamal. So just as an example, you know, maybe dramatic, but an angry mob can be just as dangerous and unpredictable as any natural disaster. You know, angry mob can do a lot of different things. And these days, these angry mobs are doing all kinds of weird things. You know, the reality is thousands of people a year are killed in riots all over the world. The reason they erupt normally is because of racial things, religious things, economic, political, social causes. It doesn't make any difference. These people who want to pick up a banner, you know, and to move into a cause, it's okay. But I say that it's the violence part. The violence is the part that I don't like. But, you know, the reality is if you find yourself in the middle of a riot, you may not be able to run away immediately. So we need to go through some of the things and the measures to for them to be able to protect themselves. So as an example, you know, I've got a list of things to be able to share out there. And then the first one is, you know, you should always have an escape route in mind. But I tell people that even with the active shooter, you know, training that we do for clients and non-clients, when we do the active shooter training, we always tell people you got to prepare. You got to be aware. You should always know where your exit routes are. And this is the same example. You got to prepare yourself an escape route. Don't make an assumption that nothing's going to happen. And I'm not telling people to be paranoid. I'm just saying that the way things are going on right now, at least have in mind that if something goes down and you're in a certain environment in a certain place, just have an escape route in mind so that you can get out of there safely. I mean, doesn't that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I've done that for a number of things. I remember when people was worried about that North Korea was going to nuke the U.S., you know, I had made like mental preparations and escape route ideas and where to try to get away from, you know, the main cities and things like that. Or if there was some kind of major explosion in Los Angeles in terms of a race riot or anything like that. You know, I'm outside of Los Angeles now. But yeah, of course, I kept myself prepared.
You know, the reality is anger and hysteria, Jamal, are contagious. Panic is contagious. You know, and to me, I tell people, stay in control of your emotions if you get caught up in a situation, because you can't think clear when you're in a panic situation. Now, you're talking about the preparation. You know, it reminded me when I was younger, Jamal, okay, because back then we had all of the issues going on where everybody thought that Russia was going to drop a bomb on us, or we were going to drop the bomb. There was going to be a nuclear war going back and forth with us and Russia. So a lot of people back in the day, Jamal, were building bomb shelters in anticipation that we were going to get nuked, so to speak. You know, I mean, it never happened. I mean, you're talking, you know, during the 50s and the 60s and people building these bomb shelters, and nothing ever happened with that because hopefully people realize that that's ridiculous. We're the only country that's ever dropped. Matter of fact, recently it was victory. It was 75 years. It was victory in Japan Day. I don't know if you saw that or noticed that, but you know, the war ended with Japan. I think it was last week. Okay. I forget the exact date, but it was within the last week. And the reason that war ended is because of the fact that the United States dropped the first nuclear bomb that anybody had done, and they dropped it on Hiroshima. Some people call it Hiroshima. And then a week later, they dropped it on Nagasaki. Okay? I mean, these things were devastating. When they dropped that second one, Japan said, we're done, and they surrendered. And that was, I guess, 75 years ago at this point. So nobody since then has used a nuclear bomb. Now, the reason that happened was because the president at that time did not realize, because he was a vice president, he did not realize how devastating that bomb was going to be. Because back then, presidents and vice presidents did not do these daily briefings the way that they do it now. And as a result of that bomb being dropped, that's where it changed, where they started having these meetings between vice president and presidents so that they understand fully everything that's going on in the event that something happens to the president. So it did have a change as a result of that, but that was devastating. There was no doubt about it. Nobody should ever have and drop a nuclear weapon on anybody. And that's why this country fights against some of these other countries getting these nuclear weapons, because I'm telling you, they could be devastating. At any rate, look, and the other part about preparing an escape route, it makes sense. Get familiar with your area. Think about possible escape routes and safe havens, places you can go. And you need that. You should always do that. And I'm not just talking about because of the civil unrest. I'm also talking about any event that is an active shooter situation. So the very first one, prepare an escape route. The second one I wanted to know, and also before I forget, remain calm. I think I already kind of mentioned that because the, you know, panic, when panic sets in, you can't think straight. Now, the second one is you got to keep your loved ones close. So if something's going down, obviously that makes sense. There's not a lot that I need to discuss with that, Jamal, because let's face it, you got kids. Something's going down. Yeah. What's the first thing you do? You huddle them up together. You do what you got to do.
Right.
You know, the next one may seem, don't get confrontational with people. That's the other thing. I don't want to forget that one. Don't get confrontational with people. If you get caught up in those situations, don't be arguing with people about their cars. Don't be doing any of that. Anyway, moving on. Don't get involved. All right. You want to stand out as least as possible, because if you draw attention to yourself, that's when the crowd focuses on you. So even if you watch some of these videos, Jamal, I think you've seen it. So here's a person who wants to stand up and scream and yell, hey, what are you guys doing? You shouldn't be doing this. What does the crowd do at that point? Don't they turn on them?
Yeah, they do.
You know.
What do you mean? Yeah, the crowd does. Yeah, no, absolutely. I see what you're saying. Yeah, the crowd does actually, you know, turn on them. Somebody always want to be a standout. And that
That's
usually
right.
doesn't end up well for them.
So as long as they understand, or the listeners understand, even though you disagree, or even if you agree with what they're talking about, don't become a part of it, because you could get caught up in it very easily. Make a long story short, okay? If you're in a car, because we've seen this on the show, I mean, on the news. If you're in a car and you see the car trying to drive through the crowds, just understand that the protesters, generally speaking, don't want to get run over, because that has happened, all right? Sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. So if you're in your car, go ahead.
That brings me, you know what, before I forget, that brings me to a story just real fast, man, 30 seconds. Did you see that situation that happened in Texas? They was having a large gathering. I don't know what movement was going on. And they was armed out there. The guy had a rifle, and he approached the guy in his car with that rifle. Well, that guy with the rifle didn't realize this is Texas, buddy. And that guy had an arm. That guy was armed and shot him multiple times. Because
he approached his car with a gun. Right.
He was in legitimate fear of his life. I get it, man. Somebody approaches you with a rifle, you don't know what their mindset is.
That's right.
And so he, once again, arm yourself, first rule.
But Jamal, this is what I'm talking about, though, when I tell people about buying guns and things of that nature, some of these places that permit you to buy some of these weapons. That is a classic example of why I tell people don't carry these weapons out there. Now, look, yes, there are a small percentage of situations where somebody's life was saved as a result of that. That guy right. may never have intended to shoot anybody. But the guy that had the rifle, Jamal, if he did not have this rifle out there just because he thought he could have a rifle, he used poor judgment, okay, for whatever reason he approached that car, okay? If he didn't have that gun, he would be alive today, you know, and even though he didn't intend to shoot. That's the problem with people being armed. It's hard to make these judgment calls sometimes. Now, right. the guy that shot him, Jamal, I agree. This guy's approaching him with a weapon. There's some civil unrest going on. He's approaching him with a gun. He pulls out a gun and shoots the guy. What can you say?
Well, clearly that guy with the rifle was trying to use that as an intimidation tactic. And right. man, did that backfire on him, man. You know,
that backfired on him.
Listen, I'm all for like protests. I'm all about for, you know, decent, peaceful protesting, man. But you out there protesting armed and stuff, I don't agree with that kind of stuff.
Well, it's just too much going on right now. But, you know, Beto was going to get all the guns from everybody, but he didn't make it. So at any rate, move away from the riot as calmly as possible, guys. That makes sense. Continue to move with the crowd until you can escape into a doorway or something of that nature. Avoid heavy traffic areas. So if you are driving, once again, avoid the heavy traffic areas. You know something's going to get on a side street. Get away. Move to a safe, enclosed area. Riots commonly happen outside on the street. So if you can get into a building or something of that nature and be able to kind of lock yourself in or to be able to get away from that fracas, so to speak, that's going on, do so. So if you can lock some doors, get into a safe area, that makes sense, especially if you get caught short because you didn't know this was going to happen. You should be looking to get inside and not stay outside because there's going to be too much going on out there. People could be shooting. The police can be arriving. The tear gas can be coming, any and all of those things. And of course, try and stay informed beforehand. Some of this stuff right now is all over social media, Jamal. I know you're a social media person. I'm not really a social media person. But these people are reading the social media and they're seeing about stuff about being organized. We're going to meet here on this particular day and blah, 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 blah. You know, so I tell people if, at a minimum, get on the internet and see what's going on. All right. So it looks like an area that you need to avoid. Avoid the area. I'm sorry, Jamal, were you going to say something?
No, absolutely. I agree. That's why I say check the temperature of the room, man. Make sure you know that there's, you know, some kind of tension going on, man. Look for any hot potential hot spots that you might want to stand clear from.
I'm going to give a couple other tips real quick so we can move on. But let me just tell you something. I tell people, or people should be aware, is that you need to carry a little solution with you. Because if tear gas gets sprayed, and I've been tear gassed because when I was with the sheriff's department and part of our training was to go into a house, we had to go into a house basically that the instructors had tear gassed, and we had to work through that house with no mask on, nothing, all right, so that we could understand and feel this tear gas, all right? But your eyes are burning and things of that nature. So if there's some civil unrest going on and you have to be outside, carry some type of eye solution with you so that you can pour it on, you know, you can put an eye and rinse your eyes. Toothpaste. If you put toothpaste under your eye, okay, that's going to be helpful as well. So if you don't have anything else, you're going out there, a little tube of toothpaste, do that, you know, and believe it or not, that will actually help you. You smear
now
it
you tell me.
Yeah, well, hey, you know.
Now you tell me.
You got to learn the hard way sometimes.
I actually got pepper spray before by my own partner.
Okay. But remember, I didn't say pepper spray. I said tear gas.
Okay.
And I don't know, tear gas, you know, pepper spray to me. And I got pepper spray when I was in the academy because they needed a volunteer. And I was dumb. You saw the pictures. And I was dumb enough to volunteer. So pepper spray versus the tear gas. Okay. So keep that in mind. All right. Yeah. All right, so look, let's move on for that. There's some safety tips, you guys. There's a lot going on out there right now. We want you to be safe, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All right, look, let me tell you something. Let's move on to the next one about this business about interfering with the elections. Jamal, you've heard all of the stories already about the 2016 election and whether or not there was Russian interference with that. And, you know, the reality is that a lot of these countries, even the United States, quite frankly, with these people, when they're trying to They influence the elections as well. Okay, so they're making it seem like it's a big deal. But right. we don't want somebody else interfering in our elections. That's who we are. We're big right. brother. We United States of America. You know, we've dabbled in yours, but we don't want you dabbling in ours. Okay.
Right.
So I think it's important for the American people though to understand that these things do happen. Now, right now, the intelligence community, okay, the intelligence community has put out that Russia, China, and Iran are seeking to influence this next election. Now, Russia, all right, Russia I'm talking about right now. Oh, by the way, let me just give you the person's name, William Ivanina, director of the National Counterintelligence and Security Center. He's the one that has raised this, okay? Now, he's saying Russia is using a range of measures to primarily denigrate former Vice President Biden, all right, and what it seems is the anti-Russia establishment. This is consistent with Moscow's public criticism of him when he was vice president for his role in the Obama administration's policy on Ukraine, okay, and its support for anti-Putin opposition inside of Russia. So the Russians don't want him because of his history about Russia. Now, the interesting thing about Ukraine is because we've been bringing up this, that has been brought up regarding Ukraine and Biden's son. But the Russians, you know, they're making it clear that the Russians don't like Biden and that they're going to try to interfere with his campaign. Okay. So, you know, again, we will see. Now, China, of course, who do you think they're going after, Jamal?
China don't want Trump.
Exactly. They're going after Trump. They you know, China does not want Trump. Okay. Beijing sees Trump as unpredictable. All of these issues that are coming out right now, where he's fighting against China, the trade deal, he's making China pay their share, so to speak. He doesn't like the fact that they're doing the intellectual property, stealing intellectual properties and all of this. And, you know, all these products that are being manufactured over there. Beijing does not want Trump reelected. So have one now. Go ahead.
Not to mention, isn't Joe Biden's son have some kind of big business connection going on in China?
You know what, Jamal? Listen, I'm not 100% on that. I just know that he had a big issue going on with Ukraine. So if Biden's son is actually having something going on with China, once again, look, whether Biden's son has something going on in China or not, Jamal, China doesn't want Trump.
Yeah. Yeah, they flew out there on Joe Biden and his son flew out there on Air Force One, man, and during the Obama administration, walked away with a nice job. So
that was Ukraine, Jamal. That wasn't China.
No, there was a situation in China too. I talked to you about it after this is over.
Okay, yeah. All right. But Jamal, you mentioned Air Force One. Vice presidents don't generally fly on Air Force One. That's the president. Okay. There is a special plane, Air Force Two.
Air Force Two, okay.
All right, Air Force Two, I'm sure. That's probably where he flew out on. So you have these issues. Then you have Iran. Okay, Iran's efforts they're going to focus on online influence. So here we go. Iran is focusing on online influence, and it's what they're putting out. They're motivated to get rid of Trump as well because they feel that Trump, first of all, he got rid of the package deal, so to speak, that Obama did with Iran. And Trump came in and basically said, he tore up that deal. Iran is hurting right now because Trump's got all kinds of sanctions and things against, you know, Iran. And Iran is suffering as a result of that. And, you know, so they're doing things online because they don't want Trump reelected. Now, remember, Biden was a part of the Obama administration, so therefore what he did and working with Iran would rather have Biden than Trump. So two out of the three of these major countries are interfering in the elections. Two do not want Trump. One wants Trump. So we'll see. But Trump pulled out of the United States out of the nuclear deal with Iran. You know, so they don't like that. So we'll have to wait and see. But it's sad to think that any country interferes with somebody else's election.
You know, we forgot to hit on something earlier while we talk about countries' interferences too, man, because, you know, even with the Black Lives Matter, it was found that Russia tried to infiltrate Black Lives Matter behind the scenes and tried to influence them and push them to do things that they wasn't really trying to do. So, you know, so that's why we got to be careful when we label these different groups like Black Lives Matter, even Antifa, maybe, that they're not being influenced by, you know, other countries and stuff like that.
Jamal, so I agree with you. I've said this on the air before, that's exactly what's going on. There are online influences that people don't understand. They are doing it online, and they are behind the scenes on social media, and they're spewing out all of this stuff and keeping the hate going. But they're not the ones that show up at the demonstrations, but they're getting other people, and they've got phony websites. They're using phony names. I've talked about this on the show as well. Right. Now, the foreign adversaries are trying to interfere with the system. They're trying to sabotage the voting process. They're trying to steal election data, okay? And they want to. One of the things they're going to be doing is putting stuff out, questioning the results, Jamal. No matter what the results are, they're going to be out there questioning the results online and getting people all upset, okay, about the results. And now, where that's going to hurt is a close election. A close election, man, it's going to be miserable.
Hey, man, I said it last week, and I'll say it again, man. The loser of this election is going to cry foul no matter what, man. You know, whoever loses this election.
Unless it's a landslide. It's a decisive victory one way or the other. If it's a close election and somebody loses, I agree with you. Somebody's going to be yelling and screaming. Everybody's going to be doing it from a different perspective. Biden is probably going to yell about the fact that they couldn't do the mail-in ballots or whatever the case may be. Trump is going to be yelling the fact that they did the mail-in ballots. I mean, these guys are all going to be screaming and hollering.
Right.
What do we do?
Yeah.
You know, we just have to wait and see.
Right.
You know. Okay, last category. It's about China, guys. Look, China is out of control. We talked about it a little bit earlier. China is clearly out of control here. Now, there are United States companies that are leaving China because of the trade war, which is good. And as I just told you, China doesn't want Trump reelected for a reason. Trump, remember, Jamal, Trump is the one that said, bring, you know, manufacturing back to this country.
Right.
So the message I want to get out to the listeners is, hey, guys, buy American. Don't buy Chinese products, okay? I think that we need to be able to support the manufacturers that are coming back here to manufacturing things. Now, the reason why they went to China in the first place is because I'm sure they got these cut-rate deals, so to speak, to be able to do manufacturing over there. It's going to be a little bit more expensive here, but we got to bring that back home. It's going to bring jobs back home, and that's exactly what's been going on. I'm sorry, were you going to say something, Jamal?
You say, you know, when you say support American products, now, does that include that, you know, American companies in China? Is that considered American? Like, how does that work?
I'm going to give you the names of those companies, Jamal, that are actually doing business over there. Okay, yeah. I'm going to give you that. But let me just tell you something. Here's something else. The United States will let Chinese buy American businesses. But China won't let us buy Chinese businesses in China. So they can buy here, but we can't buy there. That just goes to show you some of the rationale going on here.
Right.
They don't want it. Now, I could tell you who has left China and that they're going to like Vietnam and Thailand and some other places to get some of this manufacturing done. And some of them have come back home as well. Apple, Dell, Nintendo, Hasbro, Samsung, HP, they're all leaving China. They're leaving. Okay. And China is feeling the pinch, as you can well imagine why they would be feeling the pinch. Now, we have companies right here in China, and I'm going to tell you which ones are still doing business to my understanding in China in a second. But this the Chinese owned businesses here, and you don't think about it. Jamal, the movie theaters, AMC, that's owned by Chinese. Wow. Now, I'm not saying all Chinese people, okay, are bad people. So I want to make that clear. That's not what I'm saying, all right? But it's what I am telling you is that there's a double standard. We can buy here, but we can't buy. They can buy here, but we can't buy over there.
Right.
So they own AMC, they own GE Appliances, and they own Motorola as well. Now, to me, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to support those businesses from that standpoint, if that's the case.
Not
okay,
here
because
you.
Once again, you know, I want to support American businesses.
Right.
You know? And I think that's important. And I don't care whether it's under this administration, the next administration, there'll be a difference. I mean, there'll be people that'll tell you, you know, don't do that. You know, so we'll have to see. We're talking about the Chinese government. Okay, so just to be clear on that. But anyway, look, let me tell you about some businesses. And this one was very disappointing. Lowe's, you know Lowe's, the hardware store Lowe's?
Yeah.
They're still doing business over there. Lucent Technologies, Mars Candy. Okay, so now I'm not going to buy a Mars Candy bar. Martha Stewart products. Now, I don't like Martha Stewart anyway.
Right.
But she has her business. Excuse me, she has her products being manufactured in China, and she's still having them manufactured in China.
I don't like Martha Stewart.
Man, I don't like Martha Stewart, man. I was so glad when she went to jail.
She does a cooking show with Snoop Dogg.
I don't care anything about her doing a cooking show with Snoop Dogg, okay? And look, Mattel, McCormick Foods, which is huge, McDonald's. Let's see. Let me give you some other ones. You know, Michaels, you know, the store Michaels, the one that has all the Michaels, Mitsubishi Electronics, Mitsubishi Motors, Mobil Oil, Mott's Applesauce. I like Mott's products. I won't be getting any more. Now, that's Mott's Applesauce. I don't really eat applesauce like that. Nabisco, you know, is another one. And some of these are still doing business over there. So, you know, to me, I say let's not support their products, because I don't think it's right. At any rate, I think we're just about out of time here. So you've been listening to Jim Potts and Jamal Potts on LA Talk Radio, and it's time to close out the show. Hey, be sure to join us next week. And if you like what you heard, do us a favor and spread the word. Jamal, any last thought?
Hey, everybody be safe out there, man, and try to keep let cooler heads prevail out there.
Until next week, everybody, thank you so much for listening. We'll catch up with you next week. Have a good week. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.